So not as eventful a week as last week, but still pretty interesting. So there are, I guess it's the owner meetings or something down in Orlando this week, and we finally got to talk to Tomlin, and he said that Russell Wilson is in the pole position. Okay. Why are we declaring? He's not declaring a starter, but he kind of is. Why are we doing this now? Why don't we just let them play, let them work it out, and see who's the better quarterback?
I don't know. I guess that's what's strange with Mike Tomlin. No matter what it is, Joe, whether he, I think we'll always say this about Mike Tomlin. I don't think he always shows all his cards, and the cards that he does show, we never really know why. He's kind of one of those guys you don't want to play poker with or euchre with because you don't know what the hell he's gonna do.
I think he'd be really good. I think he'd be like,
Oh,
obviously I have a pair of twos and I'm not doing well at this
obviously,
hand.
you can go alone on his hand.
I'm gonna use my cards and paint I'm gonna paint the barn red because I have red paint and I have a four diamonds and
The only reason I kind of maybe see there is maybe he wants to put something out there now to kind of shut everybody up until he gets to mini camp, and then, this is the way it is. I have a feeling that now they're tippy-toeing a little bit around Russell Wilson's psyche. Right, like, hey, if we don't name him the starter, he might get pissy, or he might, whatever. So, could be one of two things, but that's the way I pick up at it. Either way, I think we're better off than we were a couple weeks ago, quarterback. So it is what it is. Just sneeze on air. You got to edit that out. Excuse me. Yeah. So
You're allergic to quarterback competitions, and so
I'm allergic to
is
quarterback
Tomlin.
competitions. Yeah. No. I think it's a little bit of the mix, right? Like, look, I'm not, I have a, I technically, because of what we did, we do have somewhat of a quarterback controversy. So, in order to not keeping it into a bigger quarterback controversy, I'm going to name kind of the starting role now. And then we get to camp. If things start changing, we can address that then. I think that's kind of what it is. And I think it's really the way I think a lot of us should be in a weird way. Like I told you, Joe, I'm on this little bandwagon of kind of believing things he's saying. Just because of that humbling press conference. And maybe I'm naive, maybe I'm buying into it too much, but maybe that's the way that Justin Fields wants it too. You know what? Let me take a step back. Let me learn from this guy. Maybe it goes the whole season. Maybe it does only go a few games, and then boom, I'm gonna be in there and getting playing time. Kind of like you said, I think you would have been right. If it would have been Russell Wilson and Kenny Pickett. I think Kenny Pickett was gonna be starting games. I just don't know, when or how long. So I think either way it would have been the same way. So yeah, you knew he was gonna get asked. You knew he was gonna get asked. So he had to have had that in his mind for a while. Maybe that's where he was when they did the team picture. And he either was going taking a poop, or for whatever reason, like you said, he just wasn't in the coach's picture. But he must have been thinking about that. But he that had to be the number one question he knew he was gonna get.
And when he did talk to reporters, I think that was like every question was about Russell Wilson or the quarterback situation. So, we are in for a very interesting training camp and OTAs and all that stuff. Every little thing that happens in OTAs and in the training camp is going to be where people are going to go over with a fine-tooth comb. There will be like people will be putting up stats in each day of training camp. Like, oh, Wilson went 4 of 7 today, but Justin Fields went 5 of 8. Oh my goodness, it's going to be like that. Like none of that matters, but that's what's going to happen. So, but it's really interesting what's going to happen with all this because, they got their third quarterback this week. This
Yeah.
Kyle Allen, who is basically a scrub, or he's no threat, he's no long-term solution, he's basically just a backup. I thought maybe they would get like a pretty prominent quarterback in the draft. Maybe it doesn't look like it now. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. But now we got to think about the future of the quarterback position? Is it going to be Justin Fields? Is it going to be Russell Wilson? Is it going to be someone else next year? Is it, or 2 years from now? I don't know. This is all unknown territory, and we're.
Well, last year was like, could it be Mason Rudolph? At least we aren't saying it's Kyle Allen. But
Yeah.
no, I mean, there's going to be a couple ways about that. You know, I think again, okay, now you have three quarterbacks, so the pressure's off in the draft to get a quarterback. But the other thing could have been like we talked about playing cards in the beginning, right? Like, I'm going to pick up Kyle Allen, so everyone's going to think we're set at quarterback, but I might just go and slide in here and select somebody you don't think I was going to select. So could be something like that. I mean, what's the big deal with Kyle Allen? You bring in four quarterbacks to camp, and Kyle Allen gets cut, and you keep the rookie you draft in the upcoming draft, right? So, yeah. So I think it was an ad. They added Lowry, probably a depth ad at best, you know, for the Steelers. Nothing to really write home about, but yeah. So Allen and Lowry, and then tonight, you know, just about a couple hours ago, they added Cordell Patterson, from the Atlanta Falcons. He'll be signing tomorrow. I don't know if you did you see that one? Yeah. So, and again, that's one of the ones that one shows me. That's like a typical Steeler ad. He's 33. He's had his day, I feel. He is a guy that will absolutely do everything. He's a Swiss Army knife with legs, running back, wide receiver, kick return. He's been fairly decent or average at all those positions. Last couple of years, not great stats. Had like one touchdown last year. I don't know what his role is, but they're going to be paying him $6 million. So I was kind of scratching my head on that move, bringing him in. But yeah, I've also enjoyed like now Omar Khan's getting the nicknames like King Khan might be my favorite one,
Yeah.
Genghis Khan. Yeah, it's been pretty good. But yeah, so some fluff moves. I don't know how you put them, Joe. There's nothing there that really makes me fall out of my chair. But yeah, I think now it's now unless somebody some big splash comes, which we can't discount will happen considering what they've done so far. I think it's you're getting ready for draft at this point.
Well, that's really interesting because, yeah, we're about a month away from the draft, and there are some big holes. There is no center.
No.
Nobody playing center right now, and all of the available free agents are gone. So now what? Your options are hope you draft someone or trade for someone. Hoping you draft someone is scary. Yes, it could work out. Or so what are you gonna do? What are you gonna do? At 20, take a center, which is possible, but not exactly the best move because that's not a value pick. You don't take centers in the first round. You take the expensive positions in the first round. You could pick up a center any year for like $5 million or something like that. But you know, to draft one, but then you know, then the other side of that is you could get the next Marquise Pouncey or Domonte Dawson or Mike Webster or something like that, the next center you have for the next 10 years. And then who cares if it was a first round pick?
Yeah, no, that's all. Yeah, you know, and it is a little scary. You kind of went all in on a couple of these guys. They had the kid from Buffalo and Morse. Like we talked about that in the last couple podcasts. The guy flies to Jacksonville and signs like 2 hours later. So I don't know if he just didn't like what he saw. But you know, he signed with Jacksonville. So that would have been a, I would have been a little happy if they would have brought him in because at least you have the backup or a guy that could start a few times. But you're right. There's not a lot out there. In fact, Mason Cole's still out there. You know, if you want to bring him
That's
back,
not happening.
don't know. You know, if you're interested. But I mean, Joe, you say it's not happening, but I'll tell you what. If they get to a point, you're right. If they draft a center, and we talked about this last week, last year, the 2023 draft, the first center went off the board with the 44th pick. So technically, by that, and I think the year before that, it was like the 39th. So a center hasn't gone early in a long time. So they would be not necessarily, you know, breaking away from the mold, but drafting a center where they're at would be unusual versus the last 2 years. But it wouldn't be unheard of when you have such a glaring need, because you're right. Some big holes, and one of those is center. There's no way around that. So I don't think anyone's gonna look at the Steelers and say they signed this JPJ kid from Oregon or the kid from WVU and say, "What the hell are you doing?" No, it's a legit signing. It's a legit need. It's a legit fill. So and maybe that's their eggs are all in that basket. Yeah, there's maybe just a handful left. They could bring in one of those guys as a backup, but they're not gonna. I don't think they draft two centers. They might. Maybe they draft one in the late round, but I think this almost guarantees 90%, 85% they're drafting a center. But you're right, other needs, left tackle is a big one. And there's some really good left tackles in this draft that will be there for them. So I don't know. Pretty interesting. Pretty interesting. The people they brought in, but yet the position they put themselves in is both exciting and a little bit nervous at the same time.
They also need a wide receiver now,
Yep.
which they didn't before. And I would say with the amount of attention they're paying to wide receivers that they're talking to in the draft, I think it's a very real possibility they go wide receiver in the first round. And okay, fine, but you have, like you said, they need a left tackle, and you have really good ones here. And this is a deep, this is, you don't often get a good tackle at in the 20th position, and that's what the opportunity they have. I really don't want them to throw that away. I don't know. I think they should go tackle in the first round.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree. I mean, I think I'd be happy with either one. But you're right. I mean, it's been weird lately. They could just surprise the two of us and or probably a lot of us out there in Yinzer Nation and go for a wide receiver. But then everyone's gonna be jumping off their couch or their lazy boy, or off their Pittsburgh toilet saying, "What do you mean? You need a center. When are we gonna draft a center in that?" So yeah, it's going to be fantastic, honestly. They're not doing anything with Ayuk. I love the exchange between how he looks just like Mike Tomlin. That I never realized that until like this last month
The
about him and Mike.
resemblance is scary.
It's
It's
uncanny.
one of those things where you say we're in a simulation and they're just copying and pasting people. He looks exactly like perfect facsimile.
Yes. Yeah. So. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's a couple guys out there at center still. Brian Allen, the Queensberry kid. There's like 3 to 5 guys left. I wouldn't be surprised to see them bring one of them in here in the next couple of days just to get a body at center. I think Connor Williams is out there too. So there's like maybe 5 or 6 left, including Mason Cole. And you're not obviously bringing in your starting center, but at least it's a depth add. But yeah, I mean, I guess I still feel they're gonna go center, but I would be fine if they went tackle. But it's really kind of up in the air because those are the three glaring needs with not a lot behind them depth-wise that they need to address. So it could be any one of them. It really could. And you really don't know. It's this is I saw it on Wake Up the other morning on football or NFL Network. Where they were talking about, there's a big kind of a crapshoot after the first three picks. There's some people saying there's a lot of people all over the place on who's going to take what and where. It really is.
It's all up in the air. Now I'm hearing that JJ McCarthy might go like top three or something like that. Oh my goodness.
I'm not sure.
Okay, I know you'll like this. Basically, that dude and what Michigan did was worse, or if as bad as what New England did with Spygate. And
Yes.
Michigan basically got nothing. They got no, not even a slap on the wrist on it. And you look at McCarthy, how good he was when that all was going on, and then after they caught him, he sucked. Like, yeah, it's really good. You're a really good quarterback when you know what the defense is doing, you dummy. Like, what? I just think he's highly overrated.
Yeah, and the other thing that I thought too is, boy, they were whether you want to say or how much you may buy into or adamant Ohio State fans that Michigan did do a lot of the cheating, and they obviously did some because they got caught and reprimanded for it. I always point that out to the Patriots fans. Oh, no, we didn't. Yeah, you did. You lost draft picks. You did cheat, and we all know. I mean, I'm sorry. Whether it's I have my Steeler tail head to toe, or you have your Steeler hat on, we know that they cheated in that one playoff game. All of them knew. Joey Porter knew. They knew the plays. They cheated wholeheartedly
I
and
think it was
got
a
our quarterback.
couple. I think it was a couple of those playoff games
Yeah.
that they
So,
basically stole from the Steelers.
right. So we're reeling it back in with that, though. I mean, that those Michigan game, those Michigan teams really had some strong running teams, great offensive lines, incredible running. And McCarthy was a good quarterback, but he isn't a guy that strikes me as like a top five pick. He's one of the
Always.
guys I think, well, he might be there in five or six or late four. It could be if we wanted to take a run at it. No, not longer, no longer since they signed Kyle Allen. But yeah, that would be a Patriots thing to do, though, right? They'll take a run on JJ McCarthy, and that's where I think, and I feel, I know some of you Kenny Pickett fans are gonna start throwing stuff at Joe's podcast window, but I think that's where we got caught up with Kenny Pickett. Oh no, we can't have another Dan Marino incident, right? Can't have Dan. We screwed up on Dan. Yes, we did. That probably could have. I think that changed the face of the franchise for the next 15 to 20 years. We messed up. Good kid, good pit kid, everything. Kenny Pickett is no Dan Marino. JJ McCarthy is no Tom Brady. Do you remember Patriots fans? You got Tom Brady late.
Thank you.
Late. So I mean, I don't know. I just can't believe how high he's vaulted in the standings. So yeah, and then you have Marvin Harrison Jr. probably going to the Cardinals, and that's where it starts getting kind of crazy. A lot of people think the Chargers are going to go offensive line. Joe Alt's there. Alt's probably the best offensive lineman overall in the draft. I mean, his dad was a great stalwart for years for the Chiefs and I think the Seahawks. But so then you have Joe Alt, and then but it gets weird. Nobody knows what the Giants are going to do. There's all this talk with them, and it really is going to be an interesting draft this year. So the Steelers could be another of those situations, Joe, where like, holy crap, look who fell to us. And I would hope to think that at this point, him, King Kong, whatever you want to call him, and it looks like a newly regenerized Rooney that's kind of involved more, or the second, are getting a game plan together and like what they want. What do we do if this scenario happens? What do we do if that scenario happens? What do we do if this guy falls to us? What if we have these three guys fall to us? Because it looks like a draft where that could happen. The one kid, the tight end from Georgia, is a Bowers. There was, right around Halloween, Thanksgiving, there was people having him go top three, top five. Now he's falling, for whatever reason. He shouldn't, because he's by far the best tight end in the draft. There isn't anybody close. And he's falling. So who the heck knows? Right now, I think a lot of people I'm going to the Packers. And so I don't know. But there are a lot of teams, Joe, that still need help. The Jets need to ramp that offensive line. The Bears need to do their line. The Chargers. So there's a lot of teams that the offensive line needs too.
I saw a mock draft where the Penn State tackle fell to the Steelers. If that's the case, they would run to the podium. That dude was supposed to go top 10. If somehow that happened, and I could see a scenario where that happens, the Steelers would snap him up in a second. But yeah, that's the thing. Who knows? It's going to be craziness that night.
I think they would too. That's a guy just from the Penn State background. We all thought he was leaving, right? I mean, they had him go in top three last year in the NFL draft, and he came back, and we're like, holy crap, that's something you surely don't see anymore. Or if you do, it's very, very rare. Kid comes back to Penn State. He's allowed one half sack in 4 years. I think there's only been a few other guys that's ever done that. He's a guarantee, but yeah, now he's fallen. You're right. I think a lot of teams go running up to the podium though when if he falls to them. So yeah, this is probably going to be one of the better drafts. I still if anyone follows this podcast, Joe and I are still the mantra Saturday morning, Saturday morning, Saturday morning, instead of this Thursday night where we're up till 1:30 in the morning for the 32nd pick on Thursday night. But Thursday night is going to be a lot of fun.
Thursday night's going to be fun. Yeah, I remember those Saturday mornings where basically almost the entire draft was on the Saturday morning. It was
Oh,
so
yeah.
much fun, and it was just the ESPN. It was just like Mel Kiper. That's it. Saying his stupid things. But I remember that one. I think it was a Colts GM. The guy's like,
Yeah.
"Who the hell is Mel Kiper? What is he?" I love that
Yeah,
stuff.
he got into it with them big time because Mel Kiper goes off and a little bit saying, this is why the Colts are always picking, in a top five every year. And he goes off on them. And I mean, it was pretty funny. Yeah, those are the good old days. But yeah, it's who knows what I mean. It's like now that people are talking, the Vikings are going to trade up, where they're going to sit back as Derek May could fall to them there. But if they think Derek May go early, they may move up. And it's kind of funny when you see a lot of these teams. The Jets are talking about moving up, the Packers, the Broncos, and if you're the Steelers, I guess you just kind of sit there and wait because I don't see them moving up. Devin Bush didn't work out too well. I think they are a little gun shy over that, and I don't think there's a guy out there. I don't know. Never say never after this offseason, Joe. That for all I know, they'll trade, TJ Watt to the Bears for the first pick. I have no
I
idea.
don't want him.
Crazy Vaughn.
I have a feeling Caleb Williams is going to be a bust. I just have a feeling. I think maybe all those college skills aren't going to translate to the pros. You don't get to run around for 15 seconds and just goof around and throw the ball to someone. You get 2 seconds at most to make a play. So good luck with that, buddy. Unless he's like the next Kyler Murray or something like that.
So most of the ones I looked up this morning, I tried to look up five different ones by average. It looks like a lot of the experts, including you and me, we're experts, have that Amarius Mims from Georgia going to the Steelers. That seems to be the sexy pick right now, which would fall right into your wheelhouse, what you're saying, Joe. Yeah, another guy has some heritage, legacy there. So yeah, but the two that I thought were interesting, couple of guys have Cooper DeJean going to the Steelers. I just have seen that kid play a lot. I mean, my company's based out of Iowa. I've seen him play at Iowa. I've seen him play at Penn State. I've seen him play. He's an incredible cornerback. And I think he'd be, this is just an observation, not anything else. I think he'd be like the first white starting cornerback since Jason Sehorn. With the Giants, which is just hilarious to me. I guess that's white guys are just slow. But I just Iowa. The funny thing about Iowa Hawkeyes, they sometimes get to that Big Ten West title game or whatever it was. It's not gonna be that way anymore, and they always kind of then falter against the Ohio States, the Michigans, whoever it is. Penn State's had their number a couple of times, and they beat Penn State, and they've also bested and ruined Ohio State's season a few times. But they have pumped out a lot of good quality NFL players, especially at the tight end position. It'd be hard to say that they're not tight end you at this point, but they've put out some really good defensive players too. So you can say what you want about Kurt Ferentz and the offense that sucks. It's right up there with Matt Canada, but Cooper DeJean could be a solid add for the Steelers. Well coached, very well respected. A lot of people think he's the best defensive back in the entire draft. That's the other one, Joe. That could be that outside sexy pick. They could go with him. That would be my wild card, but I'm not going to fall off my chair if they draft him either. But that would be my wild card because I think he'll be available there for the Steelers.
I'd be okay with that. I'd be okay with a cornerback in the first round.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. But with all the commotion of last week, what we end up in the draft is in the first round, they get the 20th pick. In the second round, they have the 19th pick. In the third round, they have the 20th pick, which is what they had all the way. But now they got a third rounder from the Eagles in the Kenny Pickett trade.
Right.
Two third rounders, and they still have now. They used to have two fourth rounders, and now they only have one fourth rounder. But still, in the first three rounds, you have four picks, and in those first three rounds, you're basically getting starter capable people. So if they keep those picks, they get four starter capable dudes. That's really good. Getting two third rounders is, I think that's huge.
Yeah, I think without question, one of them is going to be a center. It's just where. And I think it's going to be one of those things, Joe. If somebody does reach early on one of those two centers, they're going to go. That to me would dictate a pick for the center. Now, if both of those centers fall to the Steelers, they may pull the trigger. They may think, well, we can at least get one on a swing back in the second round. So that's where I think is really going to be interesting if anyone were to take one of those centers. If they both fall to Pittsburgh, yeah. Then the Cooper DeJean thing, but the left tackle situation too. That's where I'm saying they could have a couple of these left tackles that are listed as going early. They could all fall to Pittsburgh in the 20th pick. So now, yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. It'll be a lot of fun.
It's gonna be fun. We need to do like a live broadcast that night. We need to like an
That would be
hour
kind of
before the
fun.
Steelers draft. I think we should do something because that's just gonna be so much fun.
I think we should. Yeah, that could be a lot of fun just to see our reaction. Because the 20th pick's probably going to be at what, 10:30 at night?
Probably,
Oh yeah, if you have
probably.
an extra room.
I can't.
Yep, we got to
Oh,
get Fiore's pizza. No cold cheese pizza, I promise.
No, not that
We'll
cold. Yeah,
do
bring Furies.
Fiore's.
Yeah, it would be hilarious if after all said then they couldn't get a center and they have to go back to Mason Cole. It's like dumping your girlfriend and then going back to her. It's like, yeah, I messed up. I'm sorry. You can baby take me back.
Yeah, get some flowers. Yeah, I know. I mean, a lot of those guys, some of those guys I named, and Queensberry had his fair share with handling issues too. So he has a bigger pedigree than Mason Cole, but who knows? Yeah, I don't know. But the only reason I mentioned Mason Cole is he at least knows the system, I guess. That's a nice thing you can say. But here's the problem: he knew the system last year, and he sucked something bad. So I mean. I don't know. But yeah, and I guess I think the quarterback thing there means to me like, okay, if someone's available in the fifth or sixth, we might take a poke at him. But at this point, I think that cements for sure. They're not going to take a little reach here in the third or fourth round, or the two third round guys on a quarterback. I think it'll be, defensive back and offensive line, wide receiver. So.
This is an extremely deep draft for wide receiver.
Yeah.
So, fine, take one in the second round, third round, whatever. Yeah, there's your ideal scenario right there. Tackle or corner in the first round, center in the second round, wide receiver in the third round.
I'd be
Go for
happy.
it. Let's
I
go.
think, yeah, and if we're doing a show of where we after the Steelers make the pick, we start recording and do the whatever, however we want to do it that night. I think a lot of Steeler fans would be very happy with that order. I think you got a little bit of the local contingent now pushing for the West Virginia guy, because there's obviously some WVU fans in the area. But and then it could always be one of those things where they go and draft like who knows a defensive lineman or something, and we're all like, what?
Right,
Yeah.
right.
So yeah, it's I think. Signing Patrick Queen was huge too, right? So that addressed a big need at linebacker. So they did some things where I think it really did kind of ruin the poker hand, so to speak. I think they've kind of showed their cards. I think what we're saying right now, this little recipe of or a combination of center, tackle, wide receiver, possibly cornerback is pretty much the way they're going to go. I really would be, well, or wide receiver. Anything else, I'd be pretty shocked.
And I have a feeling it's not going, they're not going to pick in those picks that they're supposed to have right now. I think there's going to be some trades going down. I could see him moving up. I could see him moving back. I could see a million things going on. So it's going to be
Yeah.
fascinating.
Yeah, because the Vikings have now gotten two, they're picking two. And they've been talk saying they want to jump up and try to get two of those top picks within the top 15 right now, because I think they're 11th and 23rd, right? So they're talking about moving up. And they're another team that's rumored to be really high on Cooper DeJean. So yeah, I don't know. it is going to be fun. That's draft night is a fun night. I still do wish it was Saturday morning, but overall, it's probably the best. It's without the best draft of all the major sports. There's nothing. Everybody tries. They try to make the NBA one fun. NHL, unless you're diehard hockey fans like you and I are, we definitely know probably a few of the guys going in that maybe picked the second round. Most people don't know the first outside of top two. Baseball, there's 463 rounds, and apparently you can draft anyone from a senior in college to a freshman at T-ball, and just let them develop. So, but football is where it's at. It's just so much fun. But you're right. The wide receivers, going back to that, there's a lot of interest there. Harrison Jr., but he's going top five. No question. He may even be a guy that may jump in there in the top two. Who knows? But yeah, there's a lot of guys you see. There was one, I did see one of the guy, one of those people had the Adunez from Washington falling to the Steelers. So, who knows? I mean, and he's generally like the third or fourth best receiver listed, and they have him in the 20s, right, for the draft. So, yeah, I mean, there could be some major wide receivers that last not only through there, but into day two, Joe, like you're saying, or day three. You have some pretty big wide name wide receivers.
Do you remember, well, the other thing I remember about those Saturday morning drafts was it was either the Pittsburgh Press or the Post-Gazette. They would have in their sports section both pages, all basically a draft guide and rankings of every position and like a little blurb about every player. So even if you didn't know like every player, you got to learn about them. I was like, ooh, we got the third wide receiver. Ooh, he looks good. Like it was so much fun. It's just like let's go back. Let's go back to simpler times.
I remember that, just the heft of that paper, in the sports section was, you knew it was draft week. So, but in now it's just so different. You have everything at the touch of a button with your cell phone or a click on the computer screen here, and you got it all in front of you. So, definitely going to be something where the Steelers have glaring needs. It's kind of funny to say that because as active as they've been, arguably the most active or at least the most flamboyant active team in the offseason, it still has some pretty big holes. And you're right. I mean, if you want to bring in one of those guys back at center, fine, but you got some serious holes to fill. It's a little, like I said, it's a little scary. It really is.
It is.
So,
It
I
is.
guess maybe what they're thinking is they draft a center, Joe, and somewhere along the line somebody will cut a center here or a center's going to be available, and they feel like, all right, we'll pick up, just whoever. But yeah.
The team that drafts that JPJ is going to put him in day one.
Oh yeah.
So whoever is the starting center now will now become available, and maybe you could get him cheap. They could release him or trade him or whatever. So maybe that's the play.
It
I don't know.
does seem like they're very high on both of those guys. And that's where I guess I wish to me that would be the fun time to be the fly on the wall. Is so if you're sitting there and they both fall to you, what do? They look at each other and go, holy crap, what do we do now? Like, you've done that in a fantasy football draft where you're like, okay, I want this guy, but swings back to me. And then it swings back to you, and like you got both of them, and you're like, damn, what do I do?
Wow, what now? That's
Usually a
so,
little fantasy football, 25, 50, $300, whatever you pay. This is millions that you're looking
millions.
at. And you're right. It's funny with the Steelers because we love a lot of things here in Pittsburgh, and we're very proud of our centers. We've had a great tradition, arguably, maybe the best. So we're looking for that next Dermonti Dawson, Mike Webster, Marquise Pounce, Jeff Hardings. I know we didn't draft Jeff Hardings, but he worked out pretty well for a while. And so we're looking for that next guy. We
Well,
definitely are.
we're seeing the Arthur Smith influence in some moves in the offseason. Getting rid of Diontae Johnson for, what happened for many reasons. One of them was he was a malcontent. Another one, that he wanted out. The Steelers wanted him out because of his attitude and stuff. But also, he wasn't going to be the kind of wide receiver that Arthur Smith would want in his offense. He wants like a blocking wide receiver. So now we get, Cordarrelle Patterson, who was a few years ago was like a Swiss Army knife. He had like 500 yards receiving and 500 yards rushing 1 year or something like that. And even if he's just a wide, even if he's just the kick returner, because apparently what happened was they were discussing whether this kickoff rule was going to happen, and Cordarrelle Patterson's agent was hanging around, like, hey guys. Yeah, if this kickoff thing happens, you're gonna need a returner. I got one right here. So that's exactly what happened. And he was like, okay, we'll take him.
Excellent point on that, and I'm glad you brought that up, because the other one to me was this new, once again, the NFL powers that be have, the owners have put this drop hip tackle, and Joe, it's just now another call that's going to be open to interpretation, which in fairness to the referees, they didn't need, right? So now it's going to be up to them to decide. There's no black and white on it. I see why they did it, but it's still, it's just like, man, what are you guys doing? I guess the NFL owners, to me, as much as I'm embracing and love the draft, they are the shrewdest bunch of businessmen and families, or whatever you want to call them, that are. They do it their way, and they don't give a damn what you and I think, or what the NFL referees think, or whatever.
I guarantee this is going to happen. The Steelers are going to lose a game because of this hip drop tackle thing. You know it's going to happen. You know it's going to be like the Jesse James catch. It's guaranteed to happen. And yeah, you are putting yet another thing on basically the refs. Like, they don't have enough to do. Like, they're not good enough already, or incompetent enough already. Now we're adding another thing that they have that's in their hands. This is a disaster waiting to happen, and I hope this whole kickoff thing isn't also a disaster, because they radically changed the thing. Holy crap. So basically, instead of running down the field like 50 yards and hitting somebody, they're going to be the both opposing teams' lines are going to be like right next to each other, and then they have to wait for the kickoff to go over their head, and then the ball has to be in play and it has to be returned, and that's we're just making it too complicated. Put robots out there as refs or something like that. We have AI now. Just put robots out there.
I get a little worried when we start taking too much from the XFL. There were some things that they did that was, okay, let's go. But yeah, man, I don't like that. And I'm sitting there thinking, okay, it seems like every sport now we have Gene Steratore on standby. Like
I know,
football
really.
game, the NCAA tournament, the Stanley, like Gene Steratore, I expect him to, like, if I grab the, if the milk's outdated in my refrigerator, Gene, Darren just grabbed the
Let's go to
surpass
Gene
thing.
now.
Let's go to Gene Steratore out there, and it's a day past. Technically, pasteurization is in setting in, but like, did they not have Gene Steratore on standby for the NFL owners meetings? Like, he has an opinion on everything else, sometimes good, sometimes bad. He couldn't have chimed in saying this is a stupid idea. Because yeah, and I get it, right? Because what happens on that type of play is a lot of times the defensive player does end up landing on the offensive player's legs. Case in point, you got Aaron Rodgers, right? So I get it, but it's just like, you're right, Joe. It's either going to cost us a game. I guess you could turn around and say, well, it's better than costing us a player. But I don't know.
But what is a defensive player supposed to do? The play they showed over and over again was that one, it was the Ravens against the Bengals, and Mark Andrews caught the pass and he was running, and the defensive guy comes behind him and lands on him, does that hip drop thing, and ends up Mark Andrews ends up getting hurt for the rest
Yeah.
of the season. Okay, but what was the defensive player supposed to do there? Mark Andrews is like twice that dude's size. What is he supposed to do? Grab a rag with chloroform and knock him out or something like that? Like
Like an Ace
what?
Ventura.
Yeah, like an Ace Ventura, get a net or something, or have a Wonder
Yes.
Woman lasso or something. Like
Yeah.
what are these guys supposed to do? I get it, you want more offense, but come on, it's like these guys are helpless.
I used to shake my head when people said, "We're moving to flag football." I'm like, yeah, okay, no. And I know what they're doing in the Pro Bowl, but man, Joe, you may be onto something because what else is left? I mean, other than getting a good old rib, wrap and tackle up front, I don't know. And you know how that is with that, Joe, is you're almost going to see those flags fly like crazy those first couple of weeks till they figure out what the precedent is. You know, I guarantee almost every game or half of the games played in week one are going to have that call until the referees figure out where they're comfortable not calling it or calling it. And, I don't know. And doesn't Tomlin maybe roles reverse every so many years? I thought Tomlin was like part of the rules committee. At least at one point,
Yeah,
he was
I think
the head
he
of the
is.
rules committee for the coaches, or at least the coach's representative. So I don't know if he had a part in that or not either. I don't know.
Well, they weren't really in favor of the whole kickoff thing, but they saw that everybody else was. They're like, okay, well, we'll go along with it. That hip tackle thing, the players said, please don't make this change. Please don't do this. The players. Do you think maybe they should have a say in some of this?
Yeah,
Jeez.
because I mean,
They're your employees, for God's sake.
I can't say how many times, like statistically, but I know that, a guy like Highsmith or Watt, if usually if one's getting blocked, the other has an open, that's a good Sam Highsmith tackle, good TJ Watt tackle, kind of that kind of a play. So, I mean, and it's a 15 yarder. It's a big deal. It's not a 5 yard play, it's a 15 yard penalty. I don't know. I don't know. I think you're right, Joe. I think it's going to be kind of a unmitigated disaster in the beginning and going to be
We'll
rough.
see. We'll see. We'll
Yeah.
see. And it's that's where we're at. That's where we're at now. And we're just now we wait. Now we wait. Now all the whole I don't know. Who knows what's gonna happen? You never know with the Steelers, you never know with the NFL. It could be we think it's gonna be quiet and then all hell could break loose. So we'll see.
Yeah, it's been interesting. I was telling this, I was at the NCAA tournament Thursday, and a couple of people that watch our podcast actually, it was kind of cool. They came up and were talking to me, and they asked what it's been like. And I said, you know what? It's been a lot of fun. It almost seems like week to week, I don't know what Joe and I are going to talk about, or it really is. I mean, usually we're kind of like, okay, we're stretching it out to get to the draft. We're stretching it out to get to the draft. But holy crap. Every week there's been signings, mostly good, some bad, a lot of controversy. Congratulations,
You
Kenny Pickett, over there in Philadelphia. I still am amazed by the amount of Kenny Pickett haters. Now they set up to me and they seem like they're just waiting. Like, so anyone on Twitter right now is firing off some kind of a trying to make intelligence out of her, saying here's what they could do. They're just like, they both suck. They suck. Suck, suck, suck. They suck.
Here's what's
Both of them
gonna
suck. It's
happen.
like,
They're waiting in the weeds, and the first incompletion that Russell Wilson or Fields has, or first interception or something, it's like, oh, do you miss Kenny now? Like,
oh, I know. I almost don't want to watch
God.
Twitter that first Sunday. I don't want to. And what's this, right? Are the Steelers? They're gonna play a Wednesday game this year. Not necessarily maybe the Steelers, but the Steelers could be. Did they? I think they put that out there today too. There's probably gonna be a Wednesday NFL game.
It is not, they're not doing week one against the Eagles in Brazil. We know that.
That's good. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want that. I don't want
No.
any part of that. But
No.
they did say that basically the week between Christmas and New Year's is going to be like a game every day. Like the 23rd, 24th, 25th, for some reason, not the 27th, but the 23rd, 24th, 25th, 28th, 29th, 30th, 31st. And that's where we're going anyway. We're going to have eventually a game every day because the NFL is so damn popular. And, if they're smart about it, they can manage the schedules and stuff, so it's not crazy. But no, I could see them. I could see them doing a day-night doubleheader. The Steelers will play one team at 1 o'clock, and then another team at 8 o'clock or something like that the same day. Why not? Why
Right.
not?
Yeah, why not? Yeah, but could you imagine the drinking at Heinz Field parking lots? There would be so much icy light consumed that day of a day night doubleheader. I would almost have to say you can't do both games because the guys and girls going to that 1 o'clock game, there's no way in hell they're making it to the 4 o'clock game sober. There'll be vomit, there'll be fighting. Just no. I do remember the Steelers playing the Ravens. Wasn't that like 2 years ago on a Wednesday afternoon? And I forget there's some special stupid circumstance to that, but I remember the Steelers played the Ravens on a Wednesday afternoon game.
I was during the COVID year,
Yeah,
and yeah, it was some
it
weird
was
thing.
so
Yeah, they played like
freaking
5 o'clock on a Wednesday or something. Yeah, so weird.
yeah, and it's like I always laugh at you look at some of the 80s movies you and I grew up with. And I remember that movie, The Last Boy Scout, and it starts out with they're playing Friday night NFL, Friday night football, and you're like, oh, that's stupid. That'll never happen well. It was there's a famous picture of Harley Davidson, the Marlboro Man. I forget the guy that plays the Marlboro Man. He was in The Wrestler. I forget.
Mickey Rourke.
Yes, thank you. And he's sitting there on his motorcycle, and the gas prices are like, $4.87 or and you're like, oh, could you imagine gas prices that high? Well, yeah, we can. Yeah. So I think you're right, Joe. I think Friday Night Football is probably just around the corner.
Which would totally screw the high schools, which would be terrible, but
Yeah,
it's
I think
inevitable.
it's regionalized. I think Pittsburgh would have a problem with that. I mean, because I work in that
Same
industry,
with Texas, same with Florida,
Texas,
same with California. I think the
Ohio,
big Ohio. Yeah.
yeah,
Yeah. They would
Michigan, they would not,
not cool. Not cool. Yeah.
yep.
I wonder if they've ever done studies on productivity of a city the day after they have a Monday night football game. I would imagine, I guarantee in Pittsburgh on Tuesday mornings, the productivity is like down like 40% or something like that because you gotta stay up. If you go to the game, you're blitzed, you're not coming home until 2 a.m. and then you gotta get up and go to work the next morning. Now,
It's
there's no product, there's no spreadsheets being updated that day.
we are a special Yinzer nation. If that doubleheader, that would be if that doubleheader was like a Thursday night or something, there would be no productivity within a
No,
five county radius on Friday. Funny odd story aside, we had there's a young priest at our church, took over very young. And I remember one day after Messi, I was like, I don't believe these people. Why are they wearing Steeler jerseys? Like for Sunday morning mass. I'm like, okay, I know you weren't from around here, but you better get used to the fact that on Sunday mornings, Yinzers will wear their Steeler jerseys. And a typical Yinzer thing to do if you're not Catholic, right, was you take communion and then you get the heck out of there to get to the Steeler game or to get to the Steeler tailgate or whatever you're going to do. It's rush, get the communion, get out of there. Terrible towels hanging out of your pocket. You got the Bettis jersey, the Bradshaw jersey, the Le'Veon Bell, whatever it was, that they're gonna wear that. And I was like, Father, let me tell you something. That is not gonna stop. Okay.
What
Okay.
priests should do the play action pass. They should be like, body of Christ. Oh, he's going back to pass.
Right.
Yeah, people would you give you they take the communion and sometimes they don't even make it. They're out of there like George Pickens on an out route or something like
Right,
that.
like I gluey lips going out, like, hey, yeah, come here.
Yeah, it used to bug me. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. You're bringing your Steeler jersey. But remember, to church, you're supposed to wear your Sunday best. And I guarantee the most expensive article of clothing in that closet is that Steeler
Steeler
jersey.
jersey, yeah,
So
absolutely.
you are
Yeah.
wearing your Sunday best.
Oh, yeah, that's the Sunday best. That's a $290 jersey. That's
Exactly.
my Sunday
Exactly.
best in that. I gotta go get the chipped ham beef and yeah.
I got this signed by Dwight Hands of Stone. I'm not, this is the most valuable thing I got, Father.
Right. So
Yeah,
I mean,
that,
that's
yeah.
yeah, any of that. But you bring that up, and I remember Penn State played Purdue on like a Friday night, or maybe it was either Purdue or Illinois. They played a Friday night, and they said it was one of the worst ratings in state that Penn State had ever had because it's Friday night football. And believe it or not,
Yeah.
it you know, in what the work I do, it State College, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Erie. It's huge. You do
Yes.
boys. You know that District 9, those guys up there out county, and it's all Friday night is for football in Pennsylvania, high school football. So they even put a ratings juggernaut like Penn State on Friday night. Nobody watched. I mean, it was the lowest rating like 30 years for a Penn State home game on TV. So that to me right there, if you're not gonna watch Penn State or Pitt on a Friday night,
Right.
the Steelers will get more. They would get more.
Yeah.
I would guarantee you it would not be as much as you think. I think that would be one of the first times you'd see Steeler ratings would go down on a Friday night.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, when my daughter was in high school, their team sucked. I mean, she was in the marching band, so people, most of the people watch the marching band, but still, it's like every high school stadium has thousands of people in them. So that's where everybody is on a Friday night in Pennsylvania. That's what we
Yeah.
do. So yeah, you know they're gonna put like some crappy matchup, like Jacksonville against Indianapolis or something like that. Sometimes that crap they put on Thursday nights. Like, you know what? I think I could skip this one.
Yeah, I mean, and they're just as passionate. I know you follow Professor Briggs on Twitter. He's a broadcast partner of ours. We've done games together. I wasn't at this game, but I'll never forget last year him and a guy named Chris Birch. They were doing one of the games, and the press box a lot of times is right to the back of the fans, and they're talking to in a halftime show. I'm back in the studio producing. This fan turns around. She goes, "My daughter's on the field now. She's playing the flute. I can't hear her while you're talking." And I'm like, "Oh my! Like, you're right. I mean, like, if your daughter is out there playing the flute or
Exactly.
throwing the flag, or your son's got the sacks, or he's the star running back." They want to be there, and they don't
Right.
want to hear anything else. Steelers, Penn State, Pitt, doesn't matter. You know,
Exactly.
give me Friday night
Exactly.
lights. So yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. All right. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Maybe it'll be a quiet week. Maybe it'll be crazy next time we talk. We'll see.
Absolutely, Joe. Always a pleasure.
All right. We'll see you.
Thank you, buddy.
Bye.